Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's like a letter or two out of there, I think.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Good morning, everybody. My name's James, and you're watching The Breakfast Stream, or if you're listening on the podcast, you're listening to it. It's just gone at 10 a.m. on Thursday, December the 1st, and over the next half hour or so, I'll be covering questions from the YouTube community on just about anything they'd like, following a very interesting conclusion to Groups C and D in the World Cup. France were beaten, but Tunisia couldn't qualify above them. That's because Australia shocked the majority of the football world by beating Denmark and finishing second in that group. And Poland scraped through despite barely crossing the halfway line in a 2-0 defeat to Argentina, where at one stage they were going through ahead of Mexico because of having less yellow cards. It would have been, as I tweeted last night, so much more fun if they decided to do most yellow cards qualify. Let's go into the questions. Sean Mira says, morning, James. Hope you're well. Thoughts on the Australia win last night, and be ready for big Harry Suter to light up the Premier League very soon. Yeah, he was very good. By the way, his partner, Kai Rowles of Hearts, actually in Scotland, was very good at centre-back alongside him as well. Did you know that Harry Suter was born in Aberdeen, which is also in Scotland? Yeah, the team that Scotland potentially could have had. Yeah, look, I'd so pleased for them, because I'd said pre-tournament, and I'd take no shame in saying it, that I thought it was probably the weakest Australia that had ever rocked up to a World Cup in my lifetime. And they've defended extremely well. I think you can look at it two ways. You can say, well, they've only had an XG of, I think it's around about 1.3 XG across the three games, Australia. But defensively, in the games against Tunisia and Denmark, they've been outstanding. It's a phenomenal achievement. Really, really good. They defended so well. Never really looked like Denmark were going to score. And you're absolutely right. Big Harry Suter will get his move. If it will be to the Premier League, I'm not so certain, because I think there'll be some European clubs looking at him as well. 24-year-old, currently with Stoke City. One of our patrons, Jamie Roberts, has spoke highly of him for a very long time. I know he's had injury issues this season as well. So there'll be teams looking at him for sure. And some other Australian players as well, no doubt. Windy, 1965, says, morning, James. I hope you, Suj, and Nico are well. You well, Nico? He's well. He's sitting next to me. Windy says, I'm 13K in Sky with Rudiger today and Valverde tomorrow. I still have three transfers left. Who would you bring in? Thanks very much. Well, the honest answer is I don't know what I'm doing yet. And part of that is hoping that we may get some news on Germany and Spain today, which I'm not sure we're going to get. There's certain ones. We think we've got a good idea what the Brazil team's going to look like tomorrow already. Germany, Spain today, we're less confident about. I've been saying I want to go Rudiger myself. So obviously with Mbappe not in the team yesterday, I didn't make any transfers yesterday, so I've still got three. I'm up to 550-ish, I think. I've still got the three left this week. Rüdiger is plan one, but I may change that. So I'd like to now, with the extra one, go for another Germany defender. I can't go Rüdiger and Schüler. It doesn't work unless I make the third transfer, which I may consider doing. Similar applies if I'm going to go Jordi Alba instead. I could look at a different option where I go sort of Schüler and Laporte. That I can just about get to. So I'm considering that possibly. But I'd kind of like to go to an offensive player from one to two teams, but I don't want to gamble it on someone who might not play. So Musiala and Gundogan are under consideration. I think Morata, if I knew was going to start, Ferran Torres would all be of interest. It's a shame those fixtures aren't the 3 o'clocks today. And I'm pretty sure I've got that right this time. Kramaric of Croatia is not out of my thoughts. Neither Ziyech of Morocco. So there's a few players I'm considering, but I don't really want to use all three today because I'm conscious that I could have a problem tomorrow. So currently, in theory, I've got four players tomorrow. Cancelo, who I think will start. Marquinhos, who I don't think will start. And I've got Tadic and Xhaka in the Serbia-Switzerland game. But I don't want to be left in a position where I potentially have to captain Tadic, probably. That's not really what I want to do. The idea I've got currently, and this is going to please Nico, he's going to make some sort of girly noise. My plan is actually to get Ronaldo tomorrow. It's currently what I'm thinking of doing. And I actually brought Ronaldo as my replacement for Mbappe in the FIFA game yesterday as well. Because he's a fucking stat padder, isn't he? And I'm sure that he probably will play again, despite the fact Portugal were through and should probably rest him. Will he start tomorrow, Ronaldo, Nico? Oh, he's saying he's not sure. Maybe. So I don't want to leave myself in a bad captaincy position tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to get Bruno Fernandes. That's not going to work because of the setup in Sky. I'm in a 5-3-2 and midfielders are proving problematic. So I'm kind of keeping an open mind at the moment. I think I'm likely to probably go Rüdiger and punt something. Might be Gundogan or Musiala, actually. I think Germany will win handsomely today. I wouldn't be surprised if it's sort of 4-5-0. I don't see the Spain game going quite that way, but I mean, I've got it down as a 3-0 prediction to Spain. I don't know, is the honest side, but there's loads of options to the extent that, yeah, like, I think we can even consider people like Ziyech. I think Kramaric, even of Croatia, I think they'll beat Belgium today on the counter. I think they'll have too much for them. Going back to KDB is not an option. I wouldn't suddenly be looking to force Lukaku in if he's in the team. He's obviously going to be short of fitness. So there's loads of options today, which means you can get a real split. I'm conscious that Jordi Alba is probably going to be quite popular with the captaincy, I think, as well. And I think a lot of players should be. But I think if we can find that offensive one today, then that's what we should be looking to do. And I'm very conscious of what Nico just said to me about Ronaldo, which may change my plans where I'll see the Portugal team tomorrow and it might open me up where I look at a defensive option, even like a Pepe if he plays again, for example. Nuno Mendes is out, isn't he? So Rafael Guerreiro will play left back. That might even be a differential one to consider, I think, possibly. So yeah, interesting couple of days in Sky. I have not determined what I'm doing yet. If I know that Spain or Germany team and have confidence in it, I'm likely to go in heavy on it, I think. Jay says, morning, James. I need a Thiago Silva replacement and currently checking out premium punts for a -3. Would you buy Hakimi, Carvajal or Rüdiger? I think Rüdiger. Carvajal's one I wouldn't be certain would play. Germany are certainly going to pick their strongest defensive lineup and they'll pick their strongest team. But offensively, that could mean a multiple different formations. Changes of personnel. I would go Rüdiger, I think, from that. He's the one I want in Sky as well. I think he has the biggest threat from set pieces, etc. So I think Rüdiger. Andrew Grondin says, should FIFA give special dispensation to Spain so they can shuffle squad numbers and get Pedro and Gavi into the number 8 and 6 journeys for today's match like they deserve? Take it up with Luis Enrique, I'd say. Yeah, it feels like a crime that Gavi's the number 9, isn't it? It feels like a crime. It's not right. Ryan says, echoing Sean's question on Australia, and I had an uncle living there and he doesn't even watch football, but he stayed up till 4 a.m. and watched a game. And when the final whistle blew, he couldn't contain himself. Oh, that's lovely to hear. It's great. And I think in the, you know, as neutrals and obviously blessed, I'm blessed to support a major nation. that generally goes into tournaments with a said chance of winning. It's nice to have these stories like Australia, to see the scenes yesterday on the streets at like 3 o'clock in the morning and stuff. It's brilliant. It looks so good. It looked like the whole of Australia was on the streets. I think it was in Melbourne, this one video I've seen with the flares going off. It's great. I'm really pleased for them. Ryan says he couldn't contain his emotions. Man couldn't even go to work after because he was too spent. And he says it was insane party scenes down under. Yeah, absolutely. John Bailey said, did Argentina just become favourites again with the favourable draw in the knockouts? So it's probably bad news for my USA last four tip, which I think is probably going to be one too many for them. Maybe I think they're capable of beating both Holland and Argentina. Just not sure they're capable of beating both back to back. Does it make Argentina favourites now? No. They were certainly more impressive yesterday, but I think Poland were woeful. I feel like I kind of want to label them in future as average Poland. I can't think of anything more average in life than Poland playing football. I spoke about this the other day. They are the epitome of they'll beat shit, they'll lose to good. I would give them next to no chance of beating France at the weekend. Cannot see it. And I truly hope I'm wrong and that England possibly get the opportunity to play them in the quarterfinals. And yeah, throw it in my face if Poland beat us and get to the semis and do really well. I cannot see it. They are so ordinary. And we have to bear that in mind. Argentina were good. Much better last night. They showed aggression. I think one of the things that really kind of struck me more last night was that they almost have a home advantage, Argentina. That won't be the case so much if, say, they play Brazil in the semi-final. But in most of the games they have, they're going to have a clear advantage in terms of supporters. I think it was kind of documented Argentina and Saudi Arabia were going to be the two best supported teams at this tournament. So Argentina will have the benefit of that, where games will feel like home games for them. That brings a pressure. I think they showed aggression last night against a team that wasn't interested in showing any aggression. They were, by the looks of it, Poland, quite clear of the possibility of the yellow cards coming into play. And it was awful watching a football match where only one team really was interested in doing anything. It's horrible watching a team that's 2-0 down. And I understand it. They weren't wrong, by the way, that they got through. They did what they had to do. Awful watch. And I was watching the majority of Mexico once it got to the kind of yellow card stage. Mexico should have done the business, really. Did it make them favourites? It makes them favourites to reach the semi-final, certainly. They've probably then still got to beat 2 from 3 of Brazil in the Brazil or Spain in the semi-final, and then someone like France in the final as well. So I wouldn't see them as favourites if they played Brazil or Spain, personally. I think there's still weaknesses in there. But favourites to get to the semi-final now, yeah, they're very much back in contention, no doubt about it. Jahan Ahmed says, for Senegal, I think 2 winger spots, 1 central midfield spot and right back spot are all up for grabs. Who would you choose? Not sure I want Foden in midfield, but Mount Henderson isn't inspiring either. So we did a big talk about it yesterday on our Patreon pod. I think Kyle Walker will play again, because I think he needs the fitness in terms of potential preparation for France if we play them, because he'll have to play against Mbappe if we do end up playing them. So I think Kyle Walker will play again. There's potentially 6 days between Senegal and France, with Senegal coming 5 days after Wales, so it shouldn't be a problem. There's every chance we switch to a back three if we play France, but I think we don't need a game to prepare for that, because I think the squad's played it enough, they know. So I think Kyle Walker will play again. I think it will be a back four. I think Rashford will play again. I think you just got to run with it with his form at the moment. I wouldn't necessarily pick him over Saka, but for this weekend, I would. I think while he's in form, just run with it. Sometimes players get into form at a World Cup and you just need to let them go. And I think that's the case. I think Foden is borderline. I would play him again. The change I would make for this particular fixture from the team that beat Wales, probably only one, is I'd bring Mount in for Henderson. Because I really like him in those pockets. I think he's been really, really forgotten that he was outstanding in that first half against Iran. And he got very much overshadowed by the fact Bellingham and Declan Rice on the day were really good as well. But I would get Mason Mount back in the team for the Senegal game. That's the only change I'd make from the team that beat Wales. Leaving Saka out feels like a travesty. It feels wrong. in a lot of ways. But I think you're potentially going to damage a real weapon in Marcus Rashford at the moment. If Marcus Rashford has a bad hour, what a brilliant sub to bring on in Saka, and you could move Foden inside. You can bring the likes of Grealish on. Will we play Sterling? Possibly. But those guys in form at the moment have got to be knocking on the door asking questions. My best guess is he'll probably pick Sterling and Rashford. Probably. That's not what I'd do. Gary Reza says, morning, mate. Off for the next 6 days, which covers me until the end of the round of 16. Which game or potential game are you most looking forward to in that time? England on Sunday night, to be honest. It's biased, obviously. I don't think it'll be the best game. I think you look at those four last 16 matches and think there's a clear favourite in all of them now. But as I said, I think USA, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat the Netherlands. The other three favourites from what we know of the last 16 you'd expect to go through at the moment. I guess, subject to what happens today, Croatia versus a Germany would probably be the standout, the way it's going to fall into place, I think, at the moment. I think Brazil are likely to have a tie where they'll be heavy favourites. Whether it's Switzerland or Serbia or Cameroon, but I presume it'd be one of Switzerland or Serbia, will give Portugal a challenge, but you'd fancy Portugal strongly. So I think it'd probably be whatever tie Croatia end up with in the last 16. We could have an absolutely mouth-watering set of quarterfinals, which could, in theory, be near enough the eight teams that were favoured at the start of the tournament. It could be very close to that. It could very conceivably be Argentina v Holland, England v France, Brazil versus Spain, and Portugal v Germany. I mean, if that's the last eight lineup, that's pretty mouth-watering. If that's what, and it's possible that we end up with something like that. R2 Carroll says, morning, James. If England didn't qualify for a major tournament, who would you support? No one, mate. I've been there. 2008, we didn't qualify for the Euros. I actually had a flutter on Croatia, so I was kind of following them. But no one. Just enjoyed the football. I actually found I did enjoy that tournament quite a bit because I was just watching it purely as a neutral. Above average FPL says, morning, James. The French showing a significant lack of depth last night. Battered, in truth, by Tunisia. They were. Does that increase hope of turning them over in the quarterfinals, assuming we both get there? Well, I think, again, it's obviously dangerous for us to look that far ahead, but it's almost, I know people say, oh, it's arrogant, you're talking about France. Now, I think it's almost unavoidable, like in the same way that Argentina and Holland will now be talking about each other. I think it's almost unavoidable to know that it is a serious prospect on what chance do we have. And to be honest, with us as well, since the draw was made, a lot of us were going, France quarterfinals is where it could end. So they have vulnerabilities. I'm fairly certain of that. You have to remember they've lost some key players from this tournament, particularly in the midfield area. And I think that's an area where England can exploit. I think they can potentially actually ironically exploit France's left-hand side and force Hernandez back the other way. What they tend to do to compensate for Mbappe a bit is kind of draw Rabiot out from that side and then drop Griezmann into a midfield position. And I think England could have some joy. It sounds weird, but say England could have some domination in the midfield area against France. Weird. But they've got players who obviously could kill us. And I mean, Mbappe could beat us on his own. He can beat anyone on his own if he's at it, which is why if we play him, Kyle Walker would have to play. In terms of the depth, I mean, is that going to be such a big problem? They'll have 6 days to prepare for us if the game does happen, as will we for them. So I don't think depth comes into it too much, to be totally honest. And I know there's a lot of people have said sort of England have better depth than France, maybe in terms of the attacking wide players and stuff, but not the rest of the team. You'd suddenly take Rice and Bellingham out of that midfield. My God, we're in trouble. If you took John Stones out of the team, we're in trouble. The cover, there's no cover for Luke Shaw, essentially. It's moved Trippier to left back. So I'm not sure that we've got the depth that people think we have. And I'm not sure it'll be such a big issue for France. Fancy Connection says, good morning, James. I trust you and your family well. Yes, we are. Thank you. Watching France yesterday, I thought of this question for you. It seems France has a great first 11, but not great squad. England has both. Oh, okay, right. Well, I think I've just answered that question, but thank you, mate. As above average FPL says, lol, basically the same question. Great minds. Tim Crescent says, who in your eyes will win player of the tournament, young player of the tournament? I think it's still quite open in terms of who could win it. I think Mbappe having missed the Neymar missing a couple of games not going to help him if Brazil go all the way. I still think Mbappe. I think France are likely to get to the final in reality. They'll be favourites if they play England. They'll be favourites if they play Argentina or Netherlands. So I think France, whereas Brazil-Spain quarterfinals, toss of a coin, I think. I think Mbappe will probably win player of the tournament. Young player could even be Gavi or Pedri, to tell you the truth. I'm trying to think if anyone's kind of really burst out from the major nations. No, I think it's probably one of them too. Every chance, actually. Andrew Gonin says, are Japan suffering this World Cup for not dancing with the ones that brought you? They had three players who did the bulk of scoring in qualifying. One was cut, one reduced to cameos, one now 50-50 starter. In my opinion, Andrew, Japan suffered because they had strong impact players against Costa Rica who should have been starting the game. And they may start with many of those today, like Mitoma, for example, Minamino. I think they just suffered from being shit, in all truth. I think reflect on the Germany game and go, yep, deserved it. But I think Germany probably had vulnerabilities, were probably shut when Japan scored and then couldn't turn the game on its head. They should have been beating Costa Rica, who were a really weak team, in my opinion. So I don't think qualifying and who they've taken to the tournament's got nothing to do with it. Japan had enough players there, both in the 11 and on the bench, to even make that impact that should have been beating Costa Rica. So, I mean, what would we have labelled that at the Mandrew after they beat Germany and said, oh, they should have taken players who helped get them qualified and stuff? Nah, I don't think so, mate. They just let themselves down on Sunday. I've been saying it all week. I still can't believe they lost to them. Rhino says, morning, James. Should we be wary of a rotated Brazil? France were a bit pony, weren't they? Yes, absolutely. And like Tunisia, Cameroon will still have the possibility to qualify. I mean, it was literally for about 2 minutes yesterday, Tunisia were going to qualify, weren't they? And Australia scored pretty much straight after Tunisia did. So it would probably need, what's Switzerland on? Three, Cameroon are on one, aren't they? So, you know, if Cameroon get the first goal tomorrow, then it's potentially in their hands, right? If you've got decent goals scored number, which is worth saying. So I presume if they scored first, technically they'd be going through. Anyway, it will change during the day. But yeah, we should absolutely be wary of that. That what's the second string Brazil going to be like? I'm sure the second string Brazil will probably still be good enough. But I think France set a good example yesterday why we should be cautious of that. And it's with that in mind, thinking, oh, can I, you know, in Sky, can I go for a Gabriel Jesus or an Antony or a Martinelli if I think they're going to play? And actually, I think, well, if Ronaldo plays, that's different. Because his mentality is just goals, goals, goals. Doesn't think about anything else. So, yeah, we should be cautious of it, which gives an air of unpredictability about it. But I'd expect Brazil to be too strong. That said, I would have expected France to be too strong yesterday, and they weren't. Kezer FPL says, morning, James. What do you think of Poland scraping through last night? The most undeserved second place ever. Felt sorry for both Mexico and Saudi Arabia. Well, look, at the end of the day, neither Mexico or Saudi Arabia particularly deserved to qualify either. As much as Saudi Arabia were fun against Argentina and Poland, they got well beat last night. And Mexico showed nothing in the first two games to warrant qualifying either. So, look, Poland got through. I've already spoken about it. It's a bit shit. I've got nothing else to add. They are average Poland. Above average FPL says, given what we've seen from each of the group winners so far, how long until England fans accept Southgate as an excellent manager of tournament football? He goes on to say, inarguably, rank-wise, the toughest group on paper, we cruised it. I'm not going to buy this toughest group on paper, mate. The fucking easiest group on paper. So I'm not having that. I think Wales and Iran at the end, sorry to say, showed themselves up to be pretty average. Top 20 world rankers. I could take a letter or two out of there, I think. Gareth, I'm in full support of it. It's one me and Suj spoke about yesterday again, that I'm in full support of him. We had a question, who do you want to manage the next tournament for England? Gareth Southgate. We're both automatic on that. There isn't an obvious replacement right now, unless you wanted to go down the route of hiring a Thomas Tuchel for one tournament or something before you wait for a Potter or Eddie Howe. There aren't options. There aren't options. It's a common, get him out. Okay, who do you want in? And that's what I'd say to people. Tag me on Twitter and say, this is who I'd want to replace Gareth Southgate. Fine, crack on. But I don't think there are obvious options, certainly not that English at the moment. So the players seem to adore him. They play for him. I think he has weaknesses, as do many managers. I think he has a blindness sometimes to somebody obvious in terms of offensive play. But result-wise, in major tournaments, extremely good. People say, good fixtures. Yeah, we had a good last 16 fixture in 2016. That didn't go so well. We had a great group in 2010. That didn't go so well. We got beat as soon as we played a good team. 2008, we didn't qualify. So to be honest, from the golden generation up till the Iceland debacle, we were just dog shite for 10 years and now we're getting good results. And I realised there's been a development of some really good young players, which we're very, very blessed to have at the moment. And I think he's doing absolutely fine, Gareth. Absolutely fine. The USA game, as I said on Friday, do the business, get through, get forgotten about. And it already is. Greg Cook says, hi, James. Thank you for brightening up our World Cup mornings with these streams. I just wondered if you are disappointed as I am that so many of the teams from Muslim countries have departed so early. I can't say I've given that too much thought, to be honest. I wouldn't necessarily know which countries are and which countries aren't Muslim in many of the cases, if I'm totally honest. So I'm not giving that too much thought. I think it's possibly going to be quite surprising. We're maybe going to end up in a situation where no Asian nation qualifies. It's going to be quite surprising. Morocco have obviously done great. I think it's probably a real shame for them that they're likely to meet Germany or Spain in the knockouts. Probably going to be Germany, as I think the day will probably unfold, I think. I'm not giving that much thought. Sorry. Joe Matthew says, morning, James. Next to Rudiger, who would be the obvious captain today? Schüller's decent if we know start. It goes for many. I think many of the Germany-Spain options will be great today. It's desperately don't want to punt one who's not going to start. But I think even a Germany offensive player, if I knew that Sane was going to play, I think he's a great option today. I don't know if he is. I have that feeling with him today, like I get quite often UCL fantasy, that he's just going to explode like he does for Bayern. I think he might today. Fantasy Connection is responding to above average FBL. Billy Anderson says, morning, James. Huge day for me yesterday with Argentina block. With everyone going Germany defence, I'm tempted to go different with Croatia or something to gain rank thoughts. By all means, you can. I mean, we're essentially in Sky Fantasy kind of halfway. I'm just trying to think. 13 captaincies in the group stage. So today will be the 12th. You've only got, 10 more in the knockout stage. So we're basically roughly halfway, really, in terms of captaincies. So, yeah, look, I've backed Croatia for a clean sheet today. I don't imagine the defensive guys will hit passing tiers today, I don't think, because Belgium have got to show more, surely. But, yeah, by all means, go different. Look, reality is at some point, to win that game, you're going to have to do something different somewhere. I don't think that has to happen now. I think that can happen from the knockout stage. But as I'll detail on the Patreon pod we're going to do on Saturday, there is going to be a template that's clearly going to form, which I think will be around Argentina quite a lot, actually. So if you want to take that differential route now, by all means, go for it. Fermi Fox says, James, what about the Aussies, mate? We're bloody massive. As covered at the start. Very well done. Neil Grover says, morning, James. First one I've been able to join in live. Keep up the good work, sir. Thank you, mate. Be speaking to you. And Gary was in the chat earlier for one of the 5 Clash of the Correspondents we've got coming up before the restart of the Premier League. Twisted Only says, long time listener of the podcast here, first time tuning in for the live stream on YouTube. Just wanted to say hello, keep up the great work. Greetings from North Macedonia. It's a shame you didn't beat Portugal when arrive at this tournament. Ryan Renfrey says, morning, mate. Thanks for doing these morning streams. I'm looking forward to the SkyPod 109th with 3 transfers left. Who would you bring in? I have Musiala, Modric, Perisic today, Marquinhos and Vinicius tomorrow. So I think you've got to hold one back. Perisic is not a player I've ruled out for today either, by the way. You need to hold one back for tomorrow. That's all I'll say, Ryan. Hopefully what I said nearer the start of the stream will help with a few ideas I've got. And once I've made my decision, I'll post it on the Sky FF Slack channel later. I'm not hiding anything. I just genuinely haven't decided yet. But I think you definitely need to hold one back for tomorrow. Brain Clough FPL says, how better were England without Mount? I don't necessarily subscribe to that, honestly. I really don't. I think Mason Mount has abilities off the ball that are better, I think, than any other offensive player in the England squad. And we shouldn't discount that. And I spoke about this again on the Patreon pod yesterday, that we need a scapegoat. We have to beat at someone. Mason Mount, honestly, go back and watch that first half against Iran, was exceptional. And I think it's easy to forget. So were England better without Mount? I think England were better because of the opponent they were playing was far weaker than the opponent we played last Friday. It also says USA to beat Netherlands. Yeah, as I've said, I think that's a possibility. I'm not overly impressed with what I've seen from the Dutch. Take Cody Gakpo out of there at the moment. Depay's not fully fit. Defensively, despite having a really kind of, they've got four very good centre-backs, have shown vulnerabilities. Ecuador should have beaten them. Ecuador gone out. Luke Galway says, hi, James. Any transfers in Sky you have locked in for today? No, unfortunately. Kezer FPL says, what did you make of Denmark's dismal display? Shocking, mate. Really bad. I'm conscious not to speak about it too much, so I don't want to take away from what Australia did. But so bad. Watching the game, like, come on. You've got to get two goals. Give me something. Yeah, they're properly average and deserve to go out. How many goals did they score? One goal from a set piece? Christensen against France? Piss poor. They had a group where I think nearly all of us would have gone, yeah, France and Denmark to go through. Piss poor from them. Really, really bad. Luke Galway, would Poch take it? Yes, I think he would. I know he wants to come back to London and stuff, but again, do people want that? Do people want a Pochettino or a Tuchel as England manager? Maybe they do. Like, I'd be fine with either, to tell you the truth. But in terms of English candidates, I don't believe there are better options currently. Colm says, what is the one thing you've said constantly while watching this World Cup? Mine has been move the bloody ball. Good question, which I feel like I've been caught on the hop. One thing I keep saying, it's probably sitting here, I'd like trying to get the fire stick working. Fuck's sake, Suj. Probably something like that. Above over for Jeff Piel says, where does the future lie for Cody Gakpo club-wise? Baker commented he reminded him of peak Delhi thoughts. I can definitely get the Delhi comparison. Yeah, I really, really can get that. Even the goal on Tuesday just felt very Delhi-ish. And I know obviously Spurs as well. So yeah, I can get that as a comparison. I think the top clubs will be looking at him now. That I know Southampton, Leeds were very interested last summer. That moment's probably gone now. So you'll get a lot of top clubs looking at him. I think the United link probably has credibility because of Ten Hag and Dutch links and stuff. So yeah, could well end up at United, I think. Greg Cook says, just followed up on Muslim countries, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Tunisia. Have all entertained in some games, but all gone out. Yeah, that's very fair. I enjoyed Iran against Wales, Saudi Arabia against Argentina and Poland, Tunisia against Denmark, I quite enjoyed. And obviously yesterday, I'll be honest, I was watching far more of the Australia-Denmark game than France-Tunisia yesterday. But yeah, agreed. And actually, in a weird way, although they've gone out, probably in some of these games actually exceeded some expectations. Greg says, just to add, this is just due to the fact that this is the first World Cup held in Muslim country, I believe. That has got to be true, I believe, yes. Ivan Markovic says, morning, James. Greetings from Serbia. Hope we go through tomorrow. For captaincy in the FIFA game, should I move it from Messi to Morata if he's starting or wait for Jesus, who will likely be in the starting 11? I think I'd go Morata from that. So I went Dumfries first game, was going to go to Mbappe yesterday, as I said, sold him for Ronaldo. So my intention is actually probably go Ronaldo tomorrow. If Ronaldo's not in the Portugal team, then I will likely probably punt his replacement or move that on with one more transfer to a Jesus, for example. Right, finished with these last two. Colm Bugler says, hit the like, people. Cheers, mate. It doesn't cost anything to press the thumb button, smash a like. It's all free content. It's very much appreciated. And Braincuff FPL says, I tripled up on the Dutch lads and Germans over the French and Brazilians. Decent start to the weekend. Very well done. Thanks very much, guys. We'll leave it there. Same time tomorrow. Not too sure about next week yet, but I should be able to confirm for you by the 10 a.m. stream tomorrow. If you want to support the show, it's a new month and all our existing patrons haven't been charged this month. But if you want to join in, support the show, you can. www.patreon.com/planetfpl. Every patron will get bumped to the next tier up in January as well. So basic tier patrons will have access to all the podcasts. Intermediate tier patrons will have access to all the video content at advanced tier. And advanced tier patrons will have more content in January as well. www.patreon.com/planetfpl. And today's podcast, he's very unique. Suj talks about his time working with the entrepreneur Gary Vaynerchuk, who's a global superstar, let's say very well known around the world. And Suj talks about how he started out in business. Fascinating story, which I know our patrons are really going to enjoy today. If you're only here for football, then you won't enjoy it. We'll leave it there. Just leaves me to say thanks for those on the stream. Smash a like. And for the benefit of those on the audio, cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.